Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening and welcome to Tando Radio Show on this Friday afternoon. It is April 27, 2018. Greetings to the listening audience out there around the globe, around this planet we call Mother Earth, and whatever your name is for the planet, but just sending peace to the universe. All right, so this is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA. Ink sitting in again for Dave on this Friday afternoon. Dave will be back resuming a live on air broadcast on Monday. So make sure you check Dave out on Monday. All right. So I do have a topic for today, but before I get into that, like Dave says, let's take care of some administrative duties. And those duties include a duty to ourselves to make sure that we are in control of our own voices, our own images, our own news media, every area of people activity that Neely Fuller Jr. has defined that people, human beings engage in, that if we're going to operate as a melanated collective or black collective in whatever people activity area against the oppressor, then we need to make sure that we are in control of that. And even if it is integrated into the larger system, because you can simply change your behavior in which, from what you've been doing and do something different. while still maintaining your independence and participating in the process. But those administrative duties, and so that we can have real news and covering all this different stuff and having dialogue, it does take financial energy, so therefore we need those donations. We're so thankful for the donations. And one of the ways that you can provide a donation is by joining btrcommunity.com, where you will find today's show notes, some of the articles for what's in the news, but of course our main topic, which is these black conservatives seem to be trying to make some kind of appeal, some kind of political appeal to black voters to trade political plantations. So let's examine the logic of that, because the mainstream media is promoting it, meaning the masses is consuming it, and they're forming opinions and thoughts. That's how they manipulate your mind. That's how they program your mind with arguments, with media. And social media has just made it that much easier. So a lot of attention is being given to people who I would classify as proxies of racists, when they're representing, I don't care what mainstream party, it's only two that's controlling the whole process. It's not really a democracy, it's a duopoly, a political duopoly. And the Democrats and Republicans share power and keep other third parties oppressed, which is one of the stories we'll be talking about tonight, which is really just a repeat of the 2016 Democratic primaries. But we really want to focus, because look, Kanye West gave a lot of attention and spotlight to Candace Owens, who came up on my radar several months ago, and I put out some podcasts, and I identify her as being very dangerous because she is supported by the suspected racist mob, lynchers, to put it in a historical context, simply because of the color of her skin. And you know, I even asked her, how much does it cost? What's that salary? Six figures? What's the speaking fees for going to predominantly white, suspected racist, politically labeled conservatives, and talking in anti-black language and being very insulting to black people, and then masquerading like you're somehow making a pitch to black people to change plantations, because that's what we're talking about. So it makes no sense to me. I guess I'm putting what side of the fence I'm out there on, but everybody who know me know I'm an independently minded person in all things that I do, but I do belong to a collective, and I'm going to strategize and do what's best for that collective. So we're talking about people activity area. The system has identified this black call, the black vote, and they seem to be, and it's been decades, so it's not seen, it's lots of evidence, and they spend a lot of money with these words and these puppets, these proxies, and the media gives them a lot of attention. So Kanye puts the spotlight on her, and she's very insulting to black people, very insulting. But the argument that she is making is that, and it's not just her, it's whatever person who falls into that classification of being on a Republican plantation. We're not talking about the party of Frederick Douglass. We're talking about the party of Abraham Lincoln that strongly believes in using the 13th Amendment to privatize prisons and make profit from it on every municipal, every political level or governmental level. So what are your thoughts on that? And I do understand this is a show for those who actually do vote, but all opinions are welcome. So let's get into the show. What percentage of eligible voters voted in 2016? Estimates show that more than 58% of eligible voters went to the polls during the 2016 election, nearly breaking even with the turnout rate sent during the last presidential election in 2012, even as the final tallies in states like California continue to be calculated according to statistics collected by the U.S. and it cuts off there. But what the information that I wasn't able to find was, let me see, how many eligible voters, I guess is a better question, in 2016. So what's an eligible voter? That's the number, the magic number we need to be looking up. So my contention is that the majority of people don't vote. I think the figure, it might be something like 3 out of 10 people participate in voting. So that's your three categories right there. That's your Republican, Democrats, and Independents. And I guess you could shove third parties in there as well, like the Green Party, Libertarian Party, and what have you. So that's 3 out of 10, potentially 3 out of 10 people who, whether you participate or not, is controlling. And when I say participate, because we're all participating, so let's just stop with charades and act like we're not participating because we don't vote when we pay taxes, whether it be property taxes, whether it be sales taxes on the stuff that we buy from the corporations or whatnot that you need to operate behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., the banking fees, the financial fees on whatever transactions, even when you're using crypto. It's a tax on all that. It's a tax. So we're all paying into the system. So we're participating, but only 3 out of 10 people is actually putting people, when they say representatives, you know, it's 3 out of 10 people putting forth the people who best represent them. So they say. But we know that it's really, again, when you figure the money into the equation, it's the corporation. We're seeing corporate puppets. And that's why the Democratic Party is exploding right now, as it has been caught in a secret recording, once again, trying to rig primaries. And this is across the nation. This might even be a crime. But as the host of BTR News, I have done plenty of shows and shared plenty of articles documenting in lawsuits, and where you had the Democratic National Committee admitting that it entered into basically a financial deal with the Clinton campaign, ergo Hillary Clinton, to money launder, that is, get donors to, since one person can only donate so much money and still be within, you know, federal election campaign laws. So the way that these billionaires and multimillionaires will get around the law was do like straw donations. And then they would donate it to state parties and what have you, and then that money be funneled back to the Clinton campaign, thereby that's a conspiracy to circumvent federal election campaign laws. So they're doing the same thing right now when you hear people talking about 2018 elections, and they've been caught on tape by a quote unquote progressive candidate who catches number two party boss. Let's call him a plantation boss. Because what difference do it make the name of the plantation? Democrat, Republican, and speaking as a black person, as someone who identifies as a black voter, because I am registered voter, I do vote and have been since I was 18 years old. So just in that 3 out of 10 group, I'm seeing this going on. But I'm among the minority. So when people say nothing changes because there's not the mass participation that the media make it out to be, it's not that. When you figure in the adults that's eligible to vote, let's just say, not counting children in the United States, I would say at least 100 million. Maybe even 150 million, 175 million, 200 million. But only 3 out of 10, 30%, is controlling this process. So how can we say something don't work when it's not being tried? in a coordinated manner as a group. Other groups do it, but I have to say that misleadership and these corporate Democrats and these figureheads like a John Lewis and other members of Congress, who is where black voters are being misled. Oh, I'm sure the people that don't vote can tell you, point at these people and say, this is why I don't vote. And I can see where it can cause someone to be cynical, but again, it's only 3 out of 10. And are we taking control at the local level? Because everything starts local. That starts local there. So we're talking about a local election on this secret recording of a number two plantation boss on the Democratic plantation. Is admitting to this guy that, yeah, we say we fair and impartial, but no, we got our thumb on him. We got our guy that we want to win. And we're going to openly endorse him. Jamal Thomas put out something on his channel on YouTube. I recommend you follow his channel, but he put out a video earlier getting into the details of that. So I do believe that black people should exit the Democratic Party, but not to join the Republican Party. Why would you join the very party of Lincoln that with cooperation from the Democratic plantation to keep slavery going? Because Democrats invested in private prison slavery just like Republicans are. Corporations pay both sides of the aisles. So it makes no sense. Where it don't make sense is not to vote. Where it makes sense is how you register. And again, I'm talking to a very small percentage of our population. Even though it did make a difference in Obama being elected. And I know these people are selected. We hear a lot of people that say that, but how are they selected? It's not some conspiracy type theory. I talk about real conspiracies because putting you what I described with the DNC and Hillary Clinton to cheat Bernie Sanders, which they admitted to in a lawsuit by voters who sued for their money back and for damages because you cheated the process. That's evidence of a conspiracy. We don't have to talk about no secret societies like Skull and Bones or The Grove. Richard Nixon, we did, I issued a little a podcast on that with the Nixon tapes. But there's real conspiracies that you can lay out before the masses that they can plainly see. We don't have to get into the esoteric and make assumptions and what have you. You can just lay out the evidence. It's no theorizing. It's laying out the case. And laying out that evidence. So black folks who do vote, y'all should exit the Democratic Party and not to join the Republican Party, because it, again, is not the party that was founded by abolitionists. It's not the party of Frederick Douglass. It's the party of the traitor to the abolitionist movement, Abraham Lincoln, who negotiated with and kept promises to the so-called Confederacy to allow them to keep practicing slavery. And not only just allow them, but really to make it legal throughout all the United States and its colonies. Slavery's legal in Puerto Rico. Slavery's legal in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Slavery's legal in Guam. U.S. Samoa. And definitely we see it at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. So it's not that party. So any black person calling themselves a Republican or getting paid by Republicans, and really, if they are followed by a whole bunch of racist suspects, that's white, and proxy collaborators that are non-white, But the majority of them is racist suspects, blowing all them whistles, and some of them just being outright blatant with it. Because she is blatantly, has been blatantly racist as a black woman. And what makes her so dangerous is she doesn't believe this stuff that she's saying. That's the truth is not coming, her true feelings about this system, it's not coming out of her mouth. Because all she's doing is regurgitating talking points that you can find people who look like her, who call themselves conservatives. They're in the current media, in current media landscape and politics, and they're all throughout here, all throughout media history in the U.S. You can find YouTube videos of these various. They talk about Armstrong Williams. They talk about, I think, Walter something used to. I don't know if he still do co-host Rush Limbaugh's show whenever Rush Limbaugh was off in a Dominican Republic popping pills. And engaging in sexual trafficking, paying for it, this black dude be sitting in for him and what have you. Now we got Ben Carson over there at HUD. These type of people, they all say the same thing. They say the same lies. And it doesn't even make sense because it's not even a genuine effort to recruit black voters to the Republican plantation. How do you recruit somebody by insulting them and telling them they're not thinking for themselves? Well, that's true in many instances. And that's true with all people, but especially with black voters when it comes to Barack Obama. The symbolism is so strong, that sorcery, that media sorcery is so mesmerizing. And then we're talking about people who only became recently became voters because they was voting for a symbol. Who was handpicked by a white party boss on the Democratic plantation who noticed the junior U.S. senator had good diction, meaning he talked just like white folks. You know, for real, this is public. This is a public conversation that was put out in the media. Andy Reid, that's why he the one that recruited Barack Obama to be president. He didn't go to the Senate with ambitions to be president. But I take that back because I'm sure anybody, well, I can't say that. But I would think anybody in politics running for public office, that's the ultimate goal, is to become the CEO of USA Inc. And so a lot of corporate white power money in the Democratic Party. He was recruited by a plantation boss, Andy Reid, who said this. He's the right skin color. And he speaks good diction. In other words, speak like white folks.
Howdy.
Yeah. What's up, Otis? Oh, by the way, hold up, Otis. Hold up, Otis. I got to adjust my audio because of the podcast. Different callers come in so loud, I be trying to preserve the audio. But let me get my master volume down some and turn my mic up some, and then let me give out that telephone number, man. I tell you, time for just flies. That's a almost 30 minute introduction. I ain't mean to ramble, people, but 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the telephone number. Hit star to unmute yourself. I'll see you on the board, and then I will call on you to chime in. By the way, if you're looking for yesterday's podcast talking about paintballing, we're going to keep that one private. We're going to keep that one in the vault because everything, even though it was public, unless they made their own recording, we also don't want to, you know, certain things we just need to keep among ourselves just to be smart about things, you know. It's not cowardly because we had the conversation, and even more reason to listen to the live shows because we try. This is free speech radio, but we also don't want to give the enemy anything that he can twist our words and take sound bites out and then try to portray us to be black identity extremists. No, I'm an abolitionist. But Otis, go ahead, man. We'll go to you, then we'll go to break. And then we'll go to, I think Mel's on the board wants to speak. Otis, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that's Harry Reid,
Harry Reid. I was saying Andy Reid. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Oh, and I put some links in the chat so you could find out the numbers you're looking for. Because actually, they said in 2016 there was actually 200 million eligible voters in the U.S.
200 million.
Yeah, and something like 64% of them, I think, actually voted. So that's
6 out of 10
eligible voters that didn't even vote.
Yeah, and that's 2016. Would you say that's high? We had to throw
it was
out
a record because of Obama, I think. In 2008 was 131 million people actually voted, and then it said it dipped out of the 200 that were eligible in 2012. Or less than 200 that was eligible in 2012, 129 million actually voted.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so the total voters went down in 2012 because it maxed out his first year.
Okay.
And it also said that in 2016, it was actually only a slight dip of about a million voters. That's why I contest the fact that they claim black people lost the election. Because the truth is, the cross check and all that stuff that
black people wasn't running in the election. So I said black people wasn't on the ballot. So that was Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I know what you mean.
That the black turnout dipped. But the truth is, the cross check and purging of votes was over a million. So they really can't say the loss was in black people because that million wasn't all black people that were.
That's true.
Purged.
That's true.
Yeah.
It was a mindset.
So I really think they're twisting it because they really don't want to tell you the truth. That Renaissance technology run by Mercer, they actually were the ones that were trying to break into the polling data across states because states run their own voting precincts and control the electoral machines and stuff, the ballot machines. And Mercer, with his Renaissance technology,
his nationality and citizenship is American. I think he live abroad though, and I know we know he works with the Europeans.
He actually runs a computer trading company, him and his daughter Rebecca Mercer. But what I'm telling you is they are the ones that, because they didn't want to mess with the national election, they're the ones that actually contracted Cambridge Analytica. And with the British corporation, it was a partnership.
Yeah, but that didn't translate
the election rules.
Yeah, but see, that right there, what Cambridge Analytica did, ain't really no big deal to me. Because all they did...
Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
They didn't get in legal trouble.
Right.
So that's what they did. They actually did it with a foreign company.
And it was blamed on the Russians, I believe, right? Yeah. Wasn't it blamed on the Russians?
Right.
That's it. It's important in that respect that the mainstream media kept telling you the Russians hacked this, hacked that. The state of Georgia, I think it was Georgia that said that they detected Homeland Security tried to hack their state database. But your mainstream media, your talking heads, y'all know their names, all told y'all Russia.
And that guy was telling you about Benny. He claims that NSA did that under the guise of Homeland Security, in conjunction with NSA, did that under the guise of testing the security of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's millionaires playing with money. But like I said, if you look at the numbers, the raw numbers, it's almost impossible to believe that 13% of the population, which is black. And they said in the 2012 election.
Well, we can't use that number, Otis, and I'm gonna tell you why. We can't use that number because it's even less that vote. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
It's even less that vote. Most black people don't even vote. It's real low.
31% of the total voters in the 2016 election were people of color. That includes Asians, Mexicans, and blacks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I'll mute
but
myself.
Hey, but again, razor thin, those small percentages can make a difference. So you have to look at it that way. Because I'll take credit for a vote, a caller calling in And we do want to move on to our next caller, but
the targeted strikes at the specific precincts is the reason the Electoral College won. They knew which places to purge those votes. When you go all the way through the South and Virginia, Pennsylvania. Yeah,
so we're talking Michigan. Democratic primary, though, right? We're talking about primary season.
In the primary and in the general election, when they found out which voters, they, matter of fact, a lot of Southern states gave black voters provisional ballots, and then by law, they don't even have to count them. So a lot of people who actually cast a ballot didn't get their vote counted because there is no law saying you have to count.
Well, actually, there is. It depends on the state and most states. There is law.
But there's no federal law.
There's state law. Thank you, oldest man. I can't talk at the same time, man. But there is state law. They are by law supposed to count them. But whether or not they count them depends on who's doing the counting. And that's controlled, again, at the local level. That might be your librarian. That might be your church pastor. That might be somebody you see that own a store or something. All politics is local. And it's like right now we have trickle down instead of trickle up. And how do you trickle up? Well, you start with baby steps, right? You take control of your county. Like Philadelphia and this DA, Larry Krasner, who actually fired half of the district attorneys, assistant district attorneys, because they wanted to protest against his policy to not put people in jail for petty crimes, for even drug laws, first-time drug laws, or even for women out there prostituting, or men if it is their first time, unless there was a pattern that might show they might be victims. Hey, you had some prosecutors that said, oh no, we got to keep putting these people in jail. He fired them. That's an elected position. That's going to affect the people. Now you see Meek Mills is out as a result of that. We got to recruit him to the abolitionist movement, because I'm sure that the George Soros and the people with the money at the Ford Down Foundation and all the DNC donors, the corporate Democrats that control that party, gonna try to get a hold of him and recruit him to be about some reforming of slavery. That's why we here now is so-called reformists. That's Abraham Lincoln. I ride with Frederick Douglass. But let me not ramble on. We do need to take a break, and when I come back on the other side, we're going to go to Mayo, give him an opportunity to share his thoughts. But I need to take a station identification break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Monday through Friday, we broadcast this show live from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can give us a call at 704-802-5056. Hit **, but please watch your background noise till we call on you to speak. We'll be right back after this message.
Presents The Necessity. Welcome. Let's begin.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. All right, welcome back to Tando Radio Show. We're going to go to phones real quick, and then I'm going to get into what's in the news. I've been real busy today. Actually busy these couple of days trying to, live life, with a purpose, as Tanya Free and Friends would say. Shout out to our network partners, Tanya Free and Friends. Let's go to mail real quick, but I do need to get into what's in the news. Go through those real quickly. But our main topic is really for the second hour, but we'll go ahead and take these phone calls. Mail, I believe that's mail, or somebody calling in with the phone number with mail as the identifier. What's on your mind tonight?
Peace, peace, Scott.
Peace to you.
I just was, you know, wanting to ask a question about, like, as far as the, you know, you got the gerrymandering and all of the, like, y'all was talking about the provisional ballots and everything. But I think that it is important to vote on a state level, like, locally. But would you agree that the presidential selection is a selection, not an election?
It's a selection.
With the Electoral College?
It's a selection, no, not through the Electoral College, because that's how it's set up. And I agree with having an Electoral College in a system of racism. We don't have a system of justice, and so it's not practicing justice in any people activity area, okay? Any non-discrimination or any corruption or anything like that. So it's a selection in the fact that the party bosses, the plantation bosses, is doing the selecting. And they maneuver in ways behind the scenes, with some of these stories I'm going to share, demonstrate on how they do that selection. But that process is still not some, it still begins at the grassroots level. Because you have your, it's even lower than the state. When you people say state politics, county politics matter. County politics matter more than your state politics, mm-hmm. because that's where you live. What if you got a terrible sheriff like former sheriff David A. Clark? What you gonna do? Keep letting people die of dehydration in the jail, and babies be born on the floor with while the mother was pleased for, you know, medical attention were unheard of. I mean, with unanswered.
Yeah.
So I mean, and we're paying for this whether we vote or not. Who pays for the sheriff's salary? Who pays for the deputy's salary? That's you participating financially.
Yeah.
So you need to take some responsibility or some control over your individual energy, and since how politics works, you need to build a collective and put y'all energy together so that y'all can control the direction. It's that simple. If everybody did that at the local level, because I've actually, you know, had exposure to that and gave speeches to a small audience of a person running for Congress in South Carolina for a third party, the Green Party, but he's an abolitionist, and they invited me to speak, so I went and spoke to his supporters. That's the real grassroots right there. You know what I'm saying? That's how it worked. But they use butter biscuits to corrupt people, and to, that's where you get your Candace Owens from. That's where you get your Ben Carson's from. That's where you get the rest of your proxies from. Where it makes no logical sense to tell black people who do participate in that crucial people activity area, oh, you a slave for being on the Democratic plantation, but come join me over here with my master over here, you know, and get down with us. Because we got some hardcore masses over here. I mean, and then you look, and then the Republicans more than the Democrats are connected to the private prison corporations and that big money. But Hillary Clinton had to be called out on the carpet by grassroots activists before she was, you know, had to admit on camera that, okay, I won't take no more money from private prisons. So what sense do it make to go plantation jumping like somebody massa plantation is giving you more benefits than the other one? Makes sense to me to get off both plantations and vote in the independent block. Those are my thoughts. Did you have anything else, Mel?
Oh, no, brother. Go ahead, man. Go ahead with the show. I'm in the cut.
All right, Jenna, did you have something you wanted to say before we go into what's in the news?
Yes. Greetings, Scotty, all the callers and listeners. Excuse me. I'm very familiar with this from a young age. Like you were saying, a couple of shows back, you was talking about the Republic of Africa. Now, smaller section where I grew up here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my grandmother was the person that dictated the politics. So for a long time, like you said, it's been going on for decades. What ended up happening is my grandmother would get together with all of the older women who had children in different sections of the area where I stayed. And even though those people didn't vote, they voted what their grandmother or their great-grandmother told them to vote. You understand what I'm saying? So it, even though they wasn't participating per se as far as paying attention to the local politics, who was doing what, you know, they would go see something. And like we all used to do, at least where I'm from, go ask our grandmama. If our mama didn't know, my daddy didn't know, none of my uncles. Of course, my grandmama knew what was, everything that was going on. And as I got older, around 8, I found out that she was the one that was dictating stuff that happened. Say, if a police, like you was talking about Sheriff Clark, if it was a police chief out here doing that, those type of things, she would go get together with all of the elder women, and they would disseminate it through the rest of their families and their neighborhoods to vote those people out. I've said on many accounts, local elections is the most important thing. I used to didn't even vote for the president, but I went every 2 years to vote and see my city mayor, the governor, who was the head of the public schools, all of these type of things, because she brought that up in me. Now, I'm thinking that's what you was speaking of, and I just gave a little bit more detail. Right. But when we do this, some of the states don't allow you to pick anything other than Republican or Democratic.
Well, again, so, I'm not saying don't vote for a Republican or a Democrat, but when you're registered as an independent, and now I'm getting into a little bit more complex stuff, talking to those people you was like, you know, they didn't pay attention to politics and they were eligible to vote, so they just did what Big Mama told them to vote, or the church told them to vote, or whatever civic league they belong to told them to vote. They didn't keep up with the day-to-day minutia of how the moves that's being making that's having an impact on our lives every day. You know what I'm saying? But if you live in a state that has an open, like, primary or a closed primary, do you know what those terms mean in the people activity area of politics? And just speaking, you know, to the audience, I'm not asking you personally, Jenna, but speaking to the audience, do they know what that means? Okay. So, like, when I went to vote, I usually register as a Republican because I want to vote in a Republican primary so I could pick the least obvious racist to go up against the other least obvious.
Codification.
Right. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a great idea.
So I switch it up like that. But some states, they have closed primaries. And some of those, you know, database shenanigans, like in Arizona, they have closed primaries, and so a lot of people that was registered as Democrats, they was flipped to either independent or flipped to Republican, and then they couldn't and so that benefited Hillary Clinton, you know, versus, so, you know, that type of corruption is going on, but it requires local people participating.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and that's why I had brought up my grandmother. Because, like I said, she would get all of those things together, and different people, like, say, for instance, different families was having trouble. Well, to try to bribe my grandmother and all of the other elder women throughout the city, the Republican, the Democrat, and whatever that Green Party independent was, they would all come and give all of those women money I guess you would call it what they call a fundraiser today. So they would give them money, and they would fix up different schools, put the money into the library, help people get their homes or pay up their rent, all of these type of things, and also have
so they'll make financial contributions to the charitable organization determined by the women. So we're talking about schools,
right?
You know, it wasn't like they was taking bribes or nothing like that. It was like, hey,
well, yeah, that's
it's an unspoken agreement, a wink and a nod, because we know how politics is played like that, you know. So I
What I'm saying, though, Scotty, is what they would do is all of them people would bring those donations. Great word, by the way. All of them would bring those donations. But whoever, they also had to write down a written contract of certain things that they would set in place that would actually future legislation that will affect all of these communities.
Mm-hmm.
So what would end up happening is whoever had the what was going to be the best out of all of those three, those would be the people that those women would pass. This is who we voting for in this in this particular instance. And what the reason I brought that all out and as detailed as I did is because maybe the elder women or the elder men in the listeners community, you have to find out who they are, and y'all vote in blocks, because they're not going to come to each and every person. Somebody might knock on your door and give you a flyer, but the real nuances of what's going on is going to one particular person. And you have to find out who that person is, like Scotty said, within your county, so that you can be a part of that vote. Because what you do is they have little small meetings themselves, and everybody get their words out. But if you don't know nothing about this, never even thought about this, and don't show up to the town hall meeting just to give it a name, then you won't be able to put your input into everything that's going on, because if your input is better than what they're talking about, they're going to vote for the person that you're voting for to get these particular things that you have as an interest. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Scotty. I ain't going to hold you too long. I know you got some more stories and stuff, but I'm putting myself on mute. Thank you for your time.
I appreciate that. So it sounds cliche, because people have been saying it for a long time, but I guess, you know, also, you know, some things is just wisdom that's passed throughout the ages. So they've been saying it for a long time. Politics is local. That's where you need that control. That's how you get how do you think black folks like Fannie Lee Hamer and Rosa Parks, because I was thinking of Rosa Parks when Jenna was talking about his great-grandmother or his grandmother being, you know, a person with political influence or influencer, like we was talking about the other day, social media influencers, but real-life influencers in the area of people activity or politics. But how do you think they started getting in administrations or people like a sheriff who would then not tolerate lynching or prosecute it? I mean, it was a long battle. You just didn't pass a law, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just stopped lynching people. But it's not happening as widespread. You know, when you have a case like that turn up, not all of them are solved, but some of them are solved. And if you got the evidence, people go to prison for that. Ain't nobody really sending postcards of their lynchings unless it's being traded on the dark web. Because laws don't stop anything, but it's not as public. We're not seeing mobs that follow people like Candace Owens, follow people like Donald Trump. These personalities, think of it like they're not really following a person. They're following a media personality, a media created personality, a spokesperson. Who are they speaking for? Where are these ideals that they're espousing coming from? And then we got people calling themselves so-called free thinkers saying that, hey, that's the way to think. Do the opposite of what most people is doing. So most black voters have historically, since the 60s, voted for Democrats to bring some of that relief, only to be screwed away over by people like Democrats like a Clinton, Al Gore, the whole, all of them, Obama's vice president, Obama. So it's time to leave. It's time to leave that party. Do an exit. Register now before the 2018 midterms. Just change your registration to independent. You can do it online. Do it by postcard at the post office. That will send a message that, that hey, we on to y'all games. But I'm going to get into some of these stories that's in the news after Ross will be the last call we take for the top of the hour, and let him chime in. And then we'll get into some of these news of the day because it ties in to what we're talking about. Ross, did you have some questions or comments for us today?
Hey, peace and love, Mom, Scotty. How's everything?
Peace. Surviving behind the enemy lines.
Me too, man. Peace to my brother Jenda and Otis too. So yeah, I was going to keep it brief. Mainly, I just wanted to, because for people who are listening who have relatives that they might have a hard time getting to leave the Democratic Party, because a lot of black people think that the Democratic Party is the best place for us to be, and you know, these colonizers know it, so they exploited that for as long as possible. I would just say, tell them to read a book called Ben Tillman and the Reconstruction of White Supremacy. You can even get the archives from on the Cows and follow along with it and hear the commentary, because the commentary when we did that book study club was incredible. And basically, Ben Tillman, if you look at Donald Trump today, Donald Trump is today's version of Ben Tillman. He was like the most popular white supremacist politician in the country at the time. And just reading that book will show you that the Democratic Party was the most violently anti-black party in the country. And I mean just wholesale murder, even before the assassination of Reverend Pinckney, who was also a senator, and the other eight people at the church in South Carolina. Ben Tillman assassinated a black senator as well by the name of, I think his name was Sam Coker. And basically he didn't directly kill him, but he was there with the people who did. And they were part of a group called the Red Shirts.
Yeah, they're a terrorist group.
Go
like
out
we see
and
today.
Violently abuse black people to suppress their voting capacity.
Right.
So I would just say, just have people read that book. If you have relatives who might be just staunch Democrats, because the vast majority of black people are, have them read that book and let them see the history of what the Democratic Party was about. Because the same thing they were about then, they are about now. What I think that they have perfected is the art of refinement. And that is how they've gotten the minds of modern black people. Whereas with the Republicans, they've become more overt about it, but they just haven't been, quote unquote, historically as violently anti-black. The Democratic Party is a murderous party. I'll leave it there and I'll mute myself. Thanks, good brother.
Thank you. Yeah, reconstruction of white supremacy. That's what reconstruction, we think about the reconstruction period, and people put it in the simplest terms. They were rebuilding the South after them black soldiers came down here and burned down my pappy's plantation. You know, just some of the, a throwback to the program where I was talking about Harry Belafonte asking us what we gonna do with the baton. You gonna turn it into a torch, or you gonna keep passing it to black Democrat and selling out for butter biscuits and not advancing nothing? You know, no kind of human rights agenda, no kind of anti-slavery agenda, no kind of jobs program, nothing. And then when people from the grassroots do infiltrate, you know, that space and do put forth those sort of policies, as I was saying, you got the party plantation bosses who one of them been secretly taped revealing that the Democratic whip, that's like second in charge to Nancy Pelosi, who basically backed this dude up and said she ain't had a problem with what he said. But it's just a repeat of the 2016 primary. Whether you was a Bernie Sanders fan or not, if you was a Hillary Clinton person, then, you know, you those moderate Democrats, covert racists that Dr. King had the strongest rebuke of. You know, he rebuked y'all harder than the outright, blatant, you know, racists that's part of this so-called outright, but have been propagandists on the Fox News Network and other conservative media for a very long time. So, but yeah, check out that book. But also, think about this again. We're talking about the party of Lincoln, and so that people don't say that Scotty's being, you know, partisan here. The answer ain't the Republican Party, because even historically back then, after the assassination of Lincoln, you still had more Lincoln reformers, except for Ulysses S. Grant, who used the Klan Act to prosecute these terrorists and go after the Reconstruction. Didn't start till after his administration, the Reconstruction of white supremacy, that is, which was leading to back to slavery, exploiting the 13th Amendment exception clause. But the Intercept, and I cited them in a podcast I put out a couple of days ago about James Comey trying to play like he was some kind of ethical leader, and he felt sorry for Dr. King, and it was shameful how J. Edgar Hoover was illegally wiretapping and spying and threatening, sending King threatening messages and racial profiling and all of that. And it was an article in Intercept by this, she teaches in New York City. She was just laying out how hypocritical, as his tenure as FBI director, he was engaged in racial profiling, religious profiling, infiltrating, COINTELPRO, everything J. Edgar Hoover did. Check out that podcast. The Intercept has been putting out, you can find some good articles there. I don't agree with everything from every writer that's on there, but as a whole, I would say that, you know, they're pretty good. But this particular version comes to you because it has the video. I'm going to let y'all hear the audio. Secretly taped audio reveals Democratic whip Steny Hoyer pressuring progressive candidates to lead the race. Via Lee Fang of the Intercept, progressive Democratic congressional candidate Levi Tilleman secretly recorded this conversation he had with number two House Democrat Steny Hoyer. Again, he's in Congress at the federal level. He's behind Nancy Pelosi, where the minority whip urged Tilleman to pull out of the primary for Colorado's 6th District and support the party choice. Progressive candidate Levi Tilleman met with Congressman Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House of Representatives. This is quoting the Intercept, to make the case that the party should stay neutral in the Colorado 6th District primary, and that he had a more plausible path to victory than the same centrists, again, talking about the moderate so-called white people that Dr. King gave the most strongest rebuke to, that the Republican incumbent had already beaten repeatedly. So what we got going on here, the corporate Democrat, the party plantation bosses, who are all millionaires, by the way, but they keep running the same old guy who's going to keep putting forth the same platform, and that's the template from the plantation bosses. And there's not going to be any progress on human rights, no progress to end slavery, no progress for workers, no progress for the environment, no, just no progress. So they keep running that same person who keep losing, and they are interfering, undermining their own primary, like they did with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Same play out of the same playbook, and trying to get this guy to drop out. Let me just go ahead and run this audio for you. Well, we're at the top of the hour. I'm going to run this audio, then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back. And if we have any calls on what they hear, please share them with us by giving us a call at 704-802-5056.
In his farewell address, President Obama told Americans that if they were fed up, they should go out and run for office.
If you're disappointed by your elected officials, grab a clipboard, get some signatures, and run for office yourself.
And in the Trump...
Okay, I'm going to stop it there and add some commentary because I remember when that happened. And this is him talking crap to the grassroots. Again, the grassroots was, no, dog, we ain't trying to go along to get along with these same old failed policies, failed so-called reforms. Y'all not doing nothing for the people. And this is Barack Obama's rebuke. Oh, if you don't like it, then do it yourself. But then when people do it themselves, the party, the corporate Democrats, and it's all under control of the Clintons. Okay, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton didn't work for Barack Obama. Barack Obama worked for Bill and Hillary Clinton. They control that party. Okay?
Hey, Brother Scott.
Yes.
Real quick, before you start that back up, remember Hillary Clinton told the young black girl who was asking her about Mensa, Arkansas, and how her and her husband was involved in all of the drugs coming here, and that's exactly what she told her. Well, if you don't like it, then you run for office. This was like a 14, 15-year-old young lady that she told that to. So it goes right along with what you're saying. I just want to throw that in. I'll mute myself. I'm sorry.
No need to apologize. Thanks for the contribution. It's a talking point. It's from the playbook. This is what you say when people call you on the carpet and ask you real questions. This is what you say. Well, if you don't like it, then you run. That's a direct challenge.
Trump era, thousands of Democrats have heeded his call, running for office in elections across the country. Meanwhile, in the race for Congress, the DCCC, or the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, has moved aggressively to crush competitive primaries. DCCC officials and senior Democrats are hand-picking moderate, business-friendly candidates and are attempting to push progressives out of key races. In Colorado's 6th District, one of the most competitive seats in the country, the DCCC moved in early to select Jason Crow, a corporate lawyer, as the party candidate, pushing resources, endorsements, and money to Crow while elbowing out progressive Democratic competitors. The Democratic Party often denies that they play favorites. What follows is a meeting between Congressman Steny Hoyer, the number two Democrat in the House, and Levi Tilleman, a progressive running for the nomination for the Colorado seat.
Levi, obviously I want to talk to you about this congressional race.
Absolutely, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
You would like me to get out of the race.
You keep saying I would like me to get out. And of course that's correct.
Yeah. I know you're fundraising for Crow.
Yeah, you know? I'm for Crow because a judgment was made very early on. I didn't participate in the decision.
So your position is a decision was made, you know, very early on before voters had a say. That's fine because that's the DCCC knows better than the voters of the 6th Congressional District, and we should line up behind that candidate.
That's certainly the consequence of our decision. There are two things I'd like you to consider. One may be easier than the other. The first would be if you stay in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, I would hope you would not. I'll get to that. But if you stay in the race, it is not useful to the objective to tear down Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Crow's clearly the favorite. That doesn't mean you win. It just means he's the favorite.
I hear you.
That doesn't mean it's right. It just means
no, I hear you.
Right. I don't know Crow well, but I think he's a decent human being.
So before we go any further on that, Crow is the favorite. In no small part, Congressman Hoyer, because the DCCC not only put its finger on the scale, but started jumping on the scale very early on. And I'm born and raised a Democrat. I mean, it's undemocratic to have a small elite select someone and then try to rig the primary against the other people running. And that is basically what's been happening.
I hear you, and I disagree.
But you were part of that process.
Absolutely.
As well. You said after. Yes. Yeah.
I've been at this a long time.
Yeah.
When I said you need to get in strong, hard, and early, you disagree with him. You know, obviously, that's your choice.
And you guys are shoveling money at him.
I'm going to continue.
You're going to continue to do it?
We are going to continue to do it. And the reason why we're going to do it is because a decision was made to focus. It was clear that was our policy and our hope that we could early on try to come to an agreement on a candidate that we thought could win the general, and to give that candidate all the help we could give them so that we would have a unified effort going into a general election.
Which means, effectively, Congressman Hoyer, I'm running a campaign against Crow and against you and against the DCCC because you guys are on Crow's side.
Yeah. You know, frankly, that happens in life all the time.
So, again, going back to when we talk about, go back to Mill's question, do we believe these people are selected? And I've said that for many years, that the people are who get in a position to run for CEO of USA Inc. or as a nominee from, because there's only two parties, two wings on the bird, and that's the Republican and the Democrats. So the so-called hidden hand behind that ain't really so hidden. All you got to do is follow the money. And he who pays the piper names the tune, that's true in everything when you're in a system that ain't practicing justice. When you're in a corrupt, wicked system. Now, again, what is this? Let's just take, for example, number two House Democrat Steny Hoyer, behind Nancy Pelosi, plantation bosses for the Democratic Party. Now, let's say that this was, let's just say, a Russian with dual citizenship with Russia and United States. And he was running. And I think there is actually a Russian-American super PAC or organization, political organization, Russian-American, just like the Jews have one that's called APAC. Americans for Israelis. They're not called identifying as Jews. They identifying as Americans, as that using that citizenship status, American Israeli Political Action Committee. But let's just say this was the guy from the American Russia or Russian American who was having this conversation with Levi Tillerman, trying to get him to drop out the race and admitting that we've been controlling this and doing this for a long time. So, you know, you might as well just drop out, buddy. The system is rigged. And they admitted to this. This is what gets me. And I do understand the behavior, because you see the behavior in people activity area of religion. When we say blind followers. But the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, admitted in a lawsuit, when though most of them were voters who supported Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary in 2016, most of them supported Bernie Sanders. So when they found out from the leaks and stuff, now think about the mainstream media approach. They directing your anger at the leakers, whether it was Russian hackers, and that's disputed, or if it was somebody who worked in the DNC and stole a thumb drive and leaked it to WikiLeaks, okay, where they're admitting this, and then the public anger, the sheepo, as they call them, or the blind followers, because they practice the religion of the Democratic Party, plantation, they get mad at Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Why are you going to expose, publish this video, or excuse me, this email exposing Hillary Clinton as colluding with the French to make up lies and attack Gaddafi and destroy that country and turn it over to terrorists? You should be more angry about that, given that they're practicing slavery openly in the open markets in Libya right now. And the country, instead of being one of the most prosperous and highest standard of living for its citizens, and immigrants in Africa now is partitioned into three different Islamic religious groups and militias and straight up fanatics. You're not mad about that. You mad at Julian Assange? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? But if this was a Russian who was saying this, Rachel Maddow, this be on for 7 days straight. She would at least devote 10 minutes of her national program, television or cable program, to this topic. If Steny Hoyer was a Russian operative. And so these voters sued the DNC in Florida, and they admitted in the motion to dismiss, the DNC admitted that they have a right as a corporation to rig whatever, because they're in charge of it. They're putting on this show, so to speak. They're in control of the process. We have the ballot access, along with the Republicans, of course, and we'll work with them to keep third parties, make it difficult for them to put their candidates on, for those that talk about, let's start our own party. So, man, this all of this corruption, why would you continue to identify, just to, you know, throw back to Malcolm X, why would you continue to identify with a party that continue to put you last and put everything else first, everybody else first? But let's not even use that argument, but it's corrupt, it's rigged. Rich, the wealthy, the 1%, whatever you call them, the hidden hand, the bankers, the tycoons of industry are choosing the candidates and then using their resources to rig the election to make sure their candidate has the advantage. I'm surprised they're not suing this dude, Tillerman. Based on what state he in, you know, it is legal to record people without their knowledge. And I'm sure Steny Hoyer didn't know he was being recorded. And then even after this recording is made public, you got Nancy Pelosi basically saying that, hey, she's in agreement with everything he said and with my number two, and I ain't got a problem with it. And you continue to participate by identifying as a Democrat and registering as a Democrat. So I'm not against voting. I know it begins at the local level. So that requires work. That requires us training up people for that people activity area. That requires us, even retired people, be the spook who sat by the door. You're retired. Go sit in on these committee meetings or volunteer or even run school board. Our politics is local. You don't like things, how things is going in your town, your county. Take some organizing against that. It's not logical to sit back and say, well, I'm not going to participate in that because it's corrupt. Well, participation talks about, you know, it requires you to clean up something when you see something going wrong. Because whether you participate by casting a vote, being involved in the process or not, those who are going to continue to do what they do. And if it ain't according to what you think justice look like, then what you going to do? You going to collect guns and then what? Because you're not organizing to violently overthrow the county sheriff or the corrupt mayor. You're waiting for them to go back to the days of where, you know, and they still doing it, but in a covert way. But you just, what are you waiting for? For them to start rounding up people to put them in FEMA camps or whatever? That's what you're preparing for? When it's being controlled by a process that you have access to, you're certainly paying for. That's where you fight them people. You fight them before they're on the battlefield. Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. So, you know, I'm in agreement with black conservatives like Candace O, even though she a paid mouthpiece. And she draws on the energy of suspected racists, tens of thousands of them. I'm in agreement with her that black voters need to come off the Democratic plantation. Where I'm in disagreement with her is they don't need to trade places. Not even trading places, but they don't need to go join her and Ben Carson and any of these other black Republicans on the Republican plantation. That's the party of Lincoln still practicing slavery through the 13th Amendment. And along with their Democratic allies, the Steny Hoyers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Hillary Clintons. All right, let me see what else is up. All right, got some other stuff that's in the news. I heard something. Did somebody want to chime in on something there? Now is the opportunity to do that. No? Okay. All right. So, I don't mean to ramble in on this, but it's important. It's important because a lot of energy, I understand the power of media, and I understand the power of social media, and I understand the harm of a proxy racist being given a soapbox to stand up and be anti-black and call black people stupid and fools and compare them to slaves on the plantation. Yeah, there's mental slavery, you know, in that respect. But telling us or telling them that, hey, come join me over here, my master got better butter biscuits for you. So that's not logical. Or what's up, Jenna?
Hey, I'm right in agreement with you. I think sometimes we forget to overlook the actual person that's saying it and just take the message for what it is, because they could be just saying some outlandish stuff just because. But every now and again, they give out a little bit of the truth, and we have to be able to discern between those two to get to where we're trying to go.
Yeah, the truth she's telling is told in a deceptive way, because, you know, the best liars use a little bit of truth. You got to mix in some truth. You know what I'm saying? That's the most effective kind man right there. But to use that truth in a deceptive manner to recruit somebody for your handler's plantation, that's not cool either. You know what I'm saying? And that's
no, none of it's cool. I'm just saying, like, as far as getting away from the Democratic Party, you know, just because she said that, and like you said, she's trying to recruit other people, but you got to understand that sometimes they throw the stuff out there that we're supposed to catch, and most time we don't pay no attention to it, and it be because of the messenger that's passing it along. You know, you might have somebody who give away bad information all the time, but they always pop up, whether we're talking about social media, on your timeline, or just by way of personal and your family and different friends that you have, they always hear what they say. You know, you come across this stuff by some way. Like you said, you wanted to thank the universe earlier, and that just may be what it is, the universe sending that information to you, but we can't just throw it away because of the messenger. We have to pay attention to what's being said, because sometimes that'll help us, and that's all I was saying.
So Candace Owens tweeted out on April the 23rd, "I will be on with suspected racist Sean Hannity tonight at 9:45 p.m. Eastern. May the black ideological civil war commence. It's time. TikTok. Hashtag TikTok." I mean, she be talking big smack, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if she was a rapper, she would be like Roxanne Shanté. You know what I'm saying? Or I forget the other lady who used to battle her on the mic. You know, they were working together. Obviously, this was a show. But anyway, because she talked trash. She a good trash talker, man. She just mix in. She just recycles old black conservative talking points. And really, white people be saying it, too. but, you know, it's more effective, or they see it as being more effective when the words are put in the mouths of a black person, or heard coming out of the mouths of a black person. But she going on Sean Hannity to announce some kind of ideological civil war in the black community. There is no ideological civil war in the black community that she is a part of. Okay? Is there information warfare, ideological warfare in the black community? Well, we see that on YouTube. Whether we call ourselves conscious or whatever label, whatever ideology that we follow, because all black people, come on, y'all, we ain't all of the same mindset, had the same spiritual practices, had the same, religious beliefs, the same principles and values, like, you know, not stealing, not killing. And we were very diverse people, like all people are. But in terms of politics, there's not really a war. The only war, ideological war, is being waged is by Black Talk Radio News, Black Agenda Report, outlets like that. I would even say in the mainstream, Sean King is having an ideological war words in the people activity area of politics with Black Democrats, with Obama. You know, when we look at Barack Obama versus Cornell X and their arguments, not them personally against each other, but the policies they putting forth, the political debate that's being had. So there is one, but she ain't part of it. Ain't none of these black commentators part of it. Now, I do know Roland Martin invited her on his program to do an interview, but she wouldn't go on there because she said Roland Martin had called her out her name or disrespected her, which that's showing self-respect if that's true. But then, even if she was to go on there, that's scripted too. And he's a black Democrat. Y'all saw him out there shucking and jiving for Hillary Clinton. That super predator telling black folks to vote for that super predator, and was even implicated in the DNC cheating when Donna Brazile was fired / resigned when it was found out she gave Hillary Clinton debate questions in the debate she was having with Bernie Sanders, sponsored by News One. That's Kathy Hughes' division, I believe, and CNN. And when it came to light, when it was leaked to the public, she said, oh, somebody hacked me, and then they changed what I said. I didn't say that. Then she cops to it in her book. So there, but Candace Owens ain't part of that ideological war. There is that ideological war on the people activity area of not just those who do participate, but those who don't participate. And they'll make arguments against participation of voting, and give you the reasons why they don't do it. But Candace Owens ain't part of that debate. You know why? Because she's on a leash of a suspected racist political propaganda outlet. It might be, you know, registered as a get out the vote or public education, voter education, but it's a right wing outfit. That's who give her six figure or five figures or how much ever they paying her. So we do need to dim exit, and we do need to turn off Joy Reid, Roland Martin. Anybody, you should be able to judge for yourself whether somebody is acting like an objective journalist or if they a mouthpiece with a partisan agenda to either to prop up one of the two wings, whichever one. And even help support both by not bringing on people like the abolitionist. There's been a couple of abolitionist candidates run for Congress. They weren't black, but they were abolitionists and made it part of their platform, two of them in South Carolina. I ain't see Roland Martin or none of them had them on the debate no Republicans, or I ain't see Don Lemon having one on to debate a Democrat. The media helped prop up. and do the and then get you to manipulate you to get you to vote. But listen, I do need to take a station identification break, and then when I come back, we'll take some more phone calls. And I guess in the last couple of minutes, I'll share what's quickly what's in the news. You're listening to Tando Radio Show here on the Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back on the other side.
Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Freestyle. Free like birds and trees, free like open seas, free like the change of seasons. And that is the reason we need to stop killing American soldiers without a reason. Freestyle. Fighting a war for money control and America's own treason. Disloyal to our own, but we go to other nations and we make their houses our homes. What about our homes? What about our houses? In this war that ain't about you, ain't about me, and damn sure ain't about America's civil liberties. Cause we got Americans dying behind gunfights, crooked cops, babies crying, presidents lying, black men a statistic, AIDS, and this shit is quite twisted. The streets sweep, babies missing, and mama's wishing and they daddies was there, and it makes me want to holler because it seems like we no longer care. Freestyle, free life, freeing the street soldiers from this war in progress because it's on the street too, and it too is about greed and power. We need the government to wake up and take a truth shower. We need us to get us free because they don't know what's best. Probably ain't never seen seven-year-old little boys wearing bulletproof vests to protect their chest because ghetto children run free, and they run free through free bullets that's ready to rip through chest. Free bullets ready to lay to rest anyone in their way. See, free bullets run free through playgrounds where ghetto children run free all day. Freestyle, let me await to see the day when I am free like birds that fly high up in the sky, flapping wings able to elevate while my mind accumulates thoughts of being free, cause my voice is not free like freedom of speech should be. Freestyle.
Like a spoiled child with well-to-do parents, like not only being royal but standing and planning as the heir apparent. That's how it should be. Freestyle. Without FCC sons of piles calling out fouls, or free like anarchy in the streets and the rippling roars of the crowds. Like taxi drivers do rules written in stone. Freestyle the way the FBI can tap all our phones. Free to be me and do whatever I want to do. And freestyle so they can be them and you can be you too. I want mine totally, completely, absolutely, unconditionally free. No rules or regulations of what could, should, or might happen or what they be. No values claimed, no limits to the game. No special names you need to know to get in. No chains, leashes, leases, or theses on how far I can take my journey or what criteria this poet needs to fill and fit in. Free to see glass ceilings shattered and the shards sent to the discard pile. For freestyle.
That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Freestyle, never repressing my thoughts, locking my words, stressing the verbs, and I'm because my speech is not free like the wind that blows this supposed liberation throughout this tired-ass nation. While I sit on rooftops reading the alphabet verses of the ghetto and screaming out, don't die, civil liberties, don't die. Hoping my voice is heard through the nation's mountaintops. And the Emancipation Proclamation said I was free over 200 years ago, but my soul still don't feel so. While the Statue of Liberty presents a false reality of freedom, more fake than reality TV, because she just does not reflect me. My voice locked up and locked inside my body. Without words, I can never be free, so I look at myself and try not to see myself as a nigga they wanted me to be. Free like birds is what I wish to be. No longer picking cotton on your plantation. My arms tired, my legs weak, feeling like my life has succumbed to your damnation. And without justification, it seems I have become a slave to hip-hop beats and Rhythm Nation. Ignorance spoken at its highest height, played on every radio station because they think that could be tight. Rocking expensive clothes, we calling ourselves bitches and hoes, and we think we free shit. We more oppressed than I ever guessed. Soul searching, looking for spiritual salvation while listening to outcast liberation, trying to break the chains of enslavement and mental degradation. Freestyle like running in the night, trying to find the light in the window, reaching for our foundation so we can start a new creation. Freestyle like freeing words of the good book that have been brought to translation and freeing me from all accusation from this nation, because it seems like I've vented all my frustration in this poem that I've called Freestyle, my lyrical libation. Freestyle, that's how it should be. That's how it should
like
be.
Like imagination, creation, and blindly breaking through borders the way love does. A self-organization of things as if every nation had wings. It could fly through the sky like a dove does. Free to live, free to give, free to dream the dreams of a potential prince. Free like the freedom we had way back in Eden and have yet to see it since. Free like common sense, free like death. No fickle favorites anywhere to be found. Even if you look at every book, behind every tree or under every little rock on the ground. Freedom like light, sight, and sound. Like sunshine and moonlight and the promises of the Christ. Unfettered by the weather, the laws of Caesar's treasures or somebody's man-made price. Freedom flow like ice. Freestyle, that's how it should be. Priceless like faith, belief, and man's free will. Free to know what it all means, where it all goes, and how it all feels. Free to know what's really real. Free for me to know the damn deal. Free like a mother's silver tears, like a father's groundless fears. Free to be shared everywhere, like pain, shame, suffering, and war. The freedom to always do just a little bit more. Freestyle like what we've all been dying for. Freestyle,
that's how it should be. That's how it should be. That's how it should be.
What you're looking for, the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the friend guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
all. Cause some they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes, was the start of my last jam. So here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. Don't book up the new school rap game. Writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers on the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. So claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya, a rap burglar. False media, we don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you, dig me? Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Shout out to Public Enemy and Chuck D, Flavor Flav, who was talking about what track was that album from? I can't remember right now. But anyway, they was talking about fake news. What'd he say? False media. We don't need it, do we? Yeah. It's been going on a long time and directed at black people. people with deep pockets who produce propaganda to manipulate you, the black voter into supporting their party without them supporting your agenda. And it's not all hard to figure out. And again, you shouldn't ignore any area of people activity. Training for war, you know, prepping, whatever. That's a people activity area. You can't afford to neglect anything because some areas are interconnected. Definitely, we have seen from the history of this corporation that politics controls the war machine. I know it seemed like a monumental task to some, but hey, just start at making sure that the person who is the sheriff or hold these key positions, city manager, make sure that they practice injustice. If they not, you got to organize to get them out and get somebody in there. And the long-term plan is to where you raising up your sons and daughters to be the next county commissioner or what have you. And that's all pending revolution, because the revolution may never come the way that some people speak about it. Because this current system, and when I say system, I'm talking about the democracy that they tell people it is, going to the ballot box, having local representatives. Ain't nothing wrong with that model. It's just that the people who are being put are being selected, not by hidden hands, but hands that you should know who they belong to, because they local. They all start local. They had these local connections. The people you see on TV, the Steny Hoyers, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Clintons, they got local people as part of their network. It's networking. Just like you apply that to business networking. Politics the same way. In fact, it's actually run like a business. When you hear about parties being in debt like the DNC, because there's that business aspect to it. Because that activity even controls business regulation and whether or not it's legal to have private prisons and state prisons profiting off of the labors and passing legislation that targets people, Americans, and throws them into slavery. So I can understand the conditions that was on the ground that led to the Civil War. That period of slavery, but slavery's been refined, it's been reformed, but it's still just as brutal. But the way they portray it on TV is like entertainment, and you tune in and all these people belong to be there because they're hardened criminals when the vast majority are in there for a nonviolent, victimless crime, because you didn't criminalize one of God's plants. So telephone number, we have about 15 minutes to go, is 704-802-5056. Hit ** to unmute yourself. If you're already unmuted, just say excuse me and chime in this last 15 minutes as we discuss. So again, I understand I'm talking to a very limited audience, although I did see 200 million people were registered to vote in 2016, so that I imagine the rest were either children, the remaining 100 million, I don't know how close to 400 million people are classified as U.S. citizens, but of that 100 million were children, and guess who else? Victims of slavery with that felony slave branding that takes away their voting rights. Because once you a slave, slaves don't have rights. And that's even, you know, we're talking about punishment after you've done your time in prison for whatever crime you was you either did and you shouldn't have done it, or you was framed for it. That's slavery. That's to prevent people from voting. So why would you prevent people from voting if it didn't matter? Why would you go through all these efforts to rig the system? So it's up to us to see what's being done with our money. our financial energy and put a stop to it. Start local. Start local. Everything is local.
Hey.
Yes. Who do we have?
Brother Scott.
Yeah, Brother Jenna. Okay.
Since we're speaking to this broad audience, what would be your take as far as what to look for outside of, because they may not have anybody who's an abolitionist that's running. I was speaking about my grandmother, and one of the things that she did is that she made sure that what was going on within the neighborhood, as far as the neighborhoods that she overseen, different people that came to her for certain stuff, she would get them to do, she would get them to vote, and in return for their vote, those particular politicians or what have you would do these things. So right. What would you tell the people who are saying, well, what do I ask for? I don't know what I'm looking for when I go to vote because I just didn't vote before. What should they look for in a candidate, and some typical things that they would say to that candidate as far as getting some of the issues done within their community? What would you say to them?
Well, again, there are many different people activity areas. So it might, if I'm talking to a black business person, commerce might, you know, that activity area might be one of the questions they might ask. But I would say just be codified in all of your questions. But for me, and this is part of being an abolitionist, is again, you have to go to these town halls, to use the term that Jenna, you used earlier, and ask these candidates questions. I have, when they're open to the public and even the press is in the room, you know, I have wit, and I have put these questions to them. Particularly, I'll focus on issues like the drug war. Do you think it's right for Americans to be locked up for using cannabis? Does that make any sense? Does it make sense to send anybody to prison for a nonviolent so-called drug crime and throw them into prison and cost the taxpayer money when that person, we could spend less money giving that person training and addressing his social situation to where, you know, he won't feel the need to be out here selling drugs. Not that you have, you know, so again, I don't want to ramble on those issues. The issue is, hey, six people over the past year or past 2 years have died under very obvious conditions of abuse or murder, or it seems, it just suggests that you ain't running this jail and respecting the human rights. Then you ask them those questions. Do you think it's right for people, for American citizens, to be arrested and accused of a crime, and before they trial and they're held in these conditions in these jails, and then even some of them being murdered or turned up dead or suffer, you know, medical malpractice or get raped or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So there are so many issues, but for me, abolition is number one. I want to know if they're aware of the 13th Amendment Exception Clause. If I'm talking about somebody running for a county office, city office, or state, then I'm asking them about the North Carolina Constitution. And then, did you know that the United States, the federal government, is practicing slavery? Okay, if I'm talking to a federal candidate, I'm gonna center it on 13th Amendment. That's what I would do as an abolitionist, is advocate for the abolition of slavery and all this related issues that police, if I'm gonna talk about police shooting down people, which fortunately they don't happen a lot here. There have been some crazy white boys that gotten into shootouts, and one of them was a former cop with police and got shot. There was one incident years ago where an old man, where they broke in his house doing a welfare check, so-called, and shot him. The family's still dealing with that 3 years later. You know, they got attorneys and what have you. But on a widespread basis, like what we hear about in New York and some of these other, where you have higher concentrations of black people, and that was the issue, I would bring it up. But, of course, I always got to connect that to slavery. What do you think about the 13th Amendment? And do you think that the police officer today performs a similar role in society as the slave catchers in, let's say, 1850, enforcing the Fugitive Slave Act, or, you know, out here recovering escaped victims of slavery. So it's just, I would use codified language in the context of politics. I will give it the Neely Fuller approach and replace black with American. If I'm an advocate, hey, what's the difference? According to you paying taxes, those property taxes, those payroll taxes going to the federal government, that means you a citizen. You can try to minimize okay. how much tax you pay, but when it come right down to it, technically, you still paying. What's that? I think it was Jenna wanted to chime back in.
Yeah, I was agreeing with everything you were saying, and that answered my question. And if there's any other callers, I was just wanting to get out the way, because before I do that, though, I was just saying, once again, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And I know there's a lot of people that's popping up on their mind. Well, what should I say if I do go in there? I might hear this, that, and the other, and I want to say something, but I don't know how to say it. And you answered my question perfectly, and I will sit back and put myself on mute. Thank you for your time once again.
So when these people locally here in the district of District 10, North Carolina District 10, when they start having these little campaign open door where you can come ask them questions, then, you know, there's also local things. I need to be asking Patrick McHenry why he ain't no co-sponsor of this representative of this legislation introduced by a member of his own party to decriminalize, just take cannabis off the board, period. The federal government is not going to be involved in the regulation of this, period. It's not illegal to possess, grow, sell, transport cannabis, period. We're going to leave that up to the states. Now, if you in one state that allow it, that's cool. If you do try to send somebody and transport it to a state that don't, then no, you know, you're going to be prosecuted under that state laws. The federal government ain't in it. Why isn't Patrick McHenry a co-sponsor of that legislation, Patrick McHenry? Do you want to see Americans? Do you want to see North Carolinians? Do you want to see the residents of Gaston County continue to be prosecuted and railroaded and fined and taxed and to put into prison behind something that in 3/4 or 2/3 of the states have legalized this and shown positive results, and all the propaganda out there about, oh, this going to make kids start smoking more, they're going to give them easier access, and all of that stuff has been shown to be the BS that it was when it was said and put out by the people who profit off of slavery or consider themselves some kind of moral authority and want to tell other people what's moral and what's not, or whether or not they should consume this or that. And it's okay for you to hold yourself to that, but trying to hold somebody else to it, nah, you violating my rights as a human being to determine for myself whether or not I want to eat this, that, or the other, or smoke this, that, or the other, or whatever, or not engage in it. So it takes people being involved in the process. But, you know, I understand Jenna's question. Some people don't follow it. That's why I tune in. I tell other people, stop watching cable news. Go to YouTube. Find some progressive channel, especially if they black. They not right on everything. Well, they haven't come as far as abolitionism, but they are fair and objective, and they will point out to you when the mainstream media is giving you some BS. Tune in to Black Talk Radio News. These, you know, primarily news-based. Subscribe to the Black Agenda Reports podcast. People like Glenn Ford. Well, I bet you Candace Owens won't bait Glenn Ford. I need to contact Glenn Ford and invite Candace Owens, because I don't think she would debate me And I know she knows about me because of our social media influence and the reactions that we got in our tweets to her. Especially the one where she's talking about this ideological debate. There is no debate that you are a part of. Not with that, black conservatives ain't even taken serious. You go on Sean Hannity on Fox News, who are you going on their appeal to when black people don't watch Fox News? I think it's less than a half a percent, maybe 1%, at most 2% of their viewers of that propaganda channel, political propaganda channel, is black. Now, and so why would a black woman go on Sean Hannity, whose great-grandfather probably was one of them Irish cops that was beating black people in the head for vagrancy and enforcing black codes and throwing people into jail so they could be leased out as convict leasing. Again, that's how they reformed slavery. But why would you go on his show to a non-black audience to talk about let the war begin? That's your base, right? That's who's supporting you, right? That's where you draw your financial energy from, is that base right there. That's who you represent. And race soldiers, races that we know are racist, white supremacists, alt-righters and all that, they ain't invited to the panel to be on a black ideological debate panel. So just the phoniness in what she's pushing to these white people. Like, you know, hey, I'm some kind of titan in the black political sphere and my opinion is highly respected. And I'm starting this war. Woman, ain't nobody taking you serious. And you're dangerous, but these rabid suspected racists, and you're feeding them red meat. I mean, if you read her tweet, she is so disrespectful to black people. You use coded words like slavery. She ain't talking about the real slavery. She's talking about some mental slavery. She ain't talking about the physical slavery, the constitutionalized slavery, the institutional slavery, the privatized slavery. She ain't talking about this. She's talking about mental slavery. And there is room for that conversation. I hear you. Give me just a second. And there's room for that conversation. We need to have that conversation. But you're not talking about freeing ourselves from political mental slavery. You're talking about leaving one plantation to go to another that's just right up the road, right over yonder, you know? Go ahead, Jenna. That was Otis. All right, go ahead, Otis.
I just tell you quickly, I put a lot of stuff because I was on a couple of threads this week over that. I even invited Max into it. Back several years ago, her family settled a lawsuit for $37,500 from Stanford, Connecticut Board of Education as a result of racism. She said herself in 2016 in her blog, she wrote an open letter to Stanford advocates sharing her racial slurs. The death threats from her classmates drove her to eating disorder and therapy. In an open letter, she said, "Those words destroyed me. I held my head high at school, but I went home and I cried every single night." In another interview, she told the Connecticut Post it took her 7 years to move past that incident. When something like that happens, you become hostile, you become bitter. The sidetrack on that is one of my Facebook friends is actually from the city she's in. What ended up happening is the people who were harassing her ended up being the son of the man who eventually became the governor of Connecticut. They settled the lawsuit with the family, paid for her therapy, and then invited her to CPAC, where she met the guy who runs Turning Point USA named Charles Kirk. He talked to her at CPAC, hired her as a communications director, and now you have Miss Owens. She's now a GOPer. It's all on my Facebook page, and I also shared a lot of it to BTR community. I'll mute myself.
So now, if the date is 2016, you ain't gonna tell me, and then it's not just her, the civil record the court records, the settlement, when she was racially terrorized by the son of a governor. And so I'm assuming this governor is a Republican, a right winger, a conservative.
Yeah, CPAC. The,
right, I know CPAC is a conservative group, so right. The governor had to be conservative. And to
And her salary is reported to be in excess, her base salary is reported to be in excess of $120,000. You can find it on Wikipedia, and like I said, I posted a lot of it over the week in my Facebook and BTR.
Butter biscuits. Butter biscuits.
Excuse me,
Scotty? Yes, who's speaking?
This is Ross. This is Ross. Peace. And peace to Otis too. What he just was talking about, and that you were talking about too, and that he had read about, is just profound, because I think that after that incident happened, and the governor met with her, he pandered to her, and there's a lot of victims who either believe the system is unconquerable, or they just think that the path of least resistance is to actually go to the side of the colonizer, even after, right after they, you know, mistreated you, brutalized you, or just committed some act of racism against you. So it seems to me like she might have thought that that was the path of least resistance. They offered her what she was looking for, like you said, the butter biscuits, and now she's the complete opposite. And I just saw an article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, saying with her in the title, saying that she doesn't believe racism exists anymore, some craziness like that. So to me, she's just another version of Barack Obama, somebody with that looks like us but represents their agenda, and she's being used, she's being showcased to try and get converts to really assist the colonizer at this point. So yeah, it's very tricky the way that the mind works, especially if you've been terrorized by them and you just don't have it in you to fight the system.
I mean, we're all being terrorized in one form or fashion.
Oh yeah, but usually it has one of two effects on it, or three possible effects. Either you're gonna be a staunch fighter against the system, you're gonna do absolutely nothing and just live your life and let whatever happens happens, or you end up going to the side of the people who
becoming
are
becoming a proxy,
you, hoping for some resolution. You know, I mute myself.
Yeah, becoming a proxy racist, where I get paid to be an agent of that party's agenda and talk bad about the other party, when both of the white people in both parties, the moderates that King rebuked, that guy who was the progressive running and talking to Steny Hoyer was talking about, the moderates, okay? And they're working together with the quote-unquote so-called moderate, but who are traditionally more openly, when I say traditionally, I'm talking about the last 30, 40 years since Nixon's Southern strategy, have been openly racist. But they're all working together. Every piece of legislation to maintain slavery that people have given the nickname mass incarceration to, whether we're talking about drug laws and other laws, and funding slave catchers, giving them increased funding, hiring more of them to put them on in our neighborhoods. All of that was passed in a bipartisan fashion. So it is not logical, as Malcolm X said, to continue to identify with any party that's abusing you. The only way this makes sense in these individual victims, and she's a victim, given that history, the only logical conclusion we can come to is she getting paid to do this. Given more, you know, like the victim Sally Hemman, given more comfortable arrangements on the plantation, and then, you know, get to eat better, get better slave provisions, and then master come visit the cabin at his leisure. I don't mean to sound sexist or anything, but that, you know, whether we male or female, that's what's, I'm using that analogy to describe the relationship that Candace Owens has with these white conservatives and black people, black so-called Democrats, have with their plantation overseers. Otis, did you have something as we get ready to wrap up the show?
Yeah, I just wanted to say on the point, you know, we always talk about word meaning. Well, her and Kanye jumped in and talked about free thought. I actually put it in a tweet on one of Yvette Cornell's pages. The actual definition of free thought is a philosophical viewpoint which holds that positions regarding truth should be formed on the basis of logic, reason, and empiricism, rather than authority, tradition, revelation, or dogma. I made the point to them that they don't even understand the word that they're using.
Right.
Free thought does not mean you're entitled to anything. They are following a dogma when, in fact, free thought is based on logic and reason.
Being objective. Being objective, exactly. Something I try to strive to be as a journalist, as an independent journalist, as some other journalists out there to strive to be, that are not taking butter biscuits from the corporate media outlets. So anyway, that's today's program. That's my, you know, I just wanted to talk about the select audience that does participate in voting, some of the propaganda that has been receiving a lot of energy and airplay that you may have seen, and what my position is for those who care about my opinion in this people activity area. And my opinion is always based off of the evidence, and I'm just trying to use logic to come up with a logical solution. And right now, I say that solution in this political climate with this evidence is for black people to lead the Democratic Party and become independents, or join the Green Party, or join the Libertarian Party, grassroots, and do not. Why would you go to a party, the party of Lincoln, when they still practicing slavery, upholding that 13th Amendment?
Excuse me, Scotty?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, I don't know if you got to see, there was a video I posted on BTR Community about Mike Tyson. And there was something, he is such an intelligent person for all the mistakes he made, but he talked about the fact that in boxing, that the red and blue corner comes from the Democrats and Republicans. And that when boxing first started, they had these where the Democrats and Republicans would bet for one person to beat the other so that the two groups didn't physically fight. They would put two boxers instead.
Wow.
And he breaks down that history in a way that was just mind-blowing. I don't know if you ever saw it, but I posted it probably within a week to 2 weeks ago. I'll mute myself.
All right. Well, I want to thank all the callers and all the listeners for hanging on. I didn't get to what's in the news, but sometimes you just go with the flow. And it seemed like the callers were interested in talking about this people activity area, and if it's logical for black conservatives to be trying to make some sort of appeal to black voters, the majority of which are registered as Democrats, to stay on the Democratic plantation. But to suggest that they should join the Republican plantation is just absurd. Shouldn't be on anybody's plantation, in my opinion. All right, so that's our program for today. Again, Dave will be back on air Monday night. There are no other programs coming on tonight. It's Friday night, so we won't have any more live programming until Monday. But there's always some programming running. You maybe didn't catch all the different shows and podcasts that have aired throughout the week, but you tune into the station and check them out, or go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and pull up the podcast and listen on demand. Recognize the fact we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They are not practicing justice but deception in all areas of people activity, and we need to be codified and logical in coming up with solutions in all those areas and trying to apply them. I don't think we should ignore any area. It just isn't logical. All right. Thank you for listening. Please donate to the Black Talk Media Project and help us continue our quest to inform people with independent media. And also join us at btrcommunity.com for some private social media networking. Peace and blessings to all. Be safe.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
slicing cake.